Welcome to Off Message. I'm Isaac Dover.
Attention, couch soldiers. They're lying to you. The mainstream establishment has poisoned your mind. They say we should investigate Trump. I say impeach Hillary. They say global warming is made by man. I say it's probably why we earn 30 cents more on the dollar. They say our children should learn Chinese. I say China isn't real. No one I know has, like, ever been there. And I know, like, a ton of people. Who are they? The enemy. Who's the enemy? They are. I already said that. Pay attention. It's time for us to fight back against them, because them are fighting against we.
Today's guest, Jordan Klepper, who as the character Jordan Klepper hosts the opposition on Comedy Central. Actual fake news, but as a parody of Alex Jones and all the other conspiracy theorists out there. Comedy shows used to feel like a release, at least to me. A purge at the end of the day. Now they're just a continuation of the constant dividing fight in our politics and basically the same stuff that you're getting in the network news or cable news or hopefully on Politico and other websites all through the day. And Klepper, who's been in the middle of it first as a Daily Show correspondent and now as the host of his own show, feels it every night. For comedians, it's the best of times and the worst of times. More material than ever, more engaged audiences than ever, but also more people picking over the same already overexposed points than ever. And how do you parody reality that already feels like parody? I think the way fake news has become such a common term, stripped of all meaning except what people don't want to believe, is dangerous. Just before I came in to record this, a Republican political consultant responded to a tweet of mine about how the New York GOP amazingly doesn't have any strong candidate to run for any statewide office by calling that fake news. But it's not. Fake news is strategically constructed and placed false information that's part of an active politicized campaign, generally by an enemy entity. That consultant disagrees with what's been reported, doesn't like the tweet, doesn't think it's right. But that doesn't make it fake news. Klepper is worried about fake news becoming a meaningless term or just a laugh line too. So how do you do a show that's all about mocking it every night? There's more on this in my article up on our website right now, so please check that out. And it gets into how this fits with how other comedians are tackling this, including Dave Chappelle, who I think had a really interesting moment in the Netflix special that went out on New Year's Eve. And get into all that. But first, a reminder to email me on Twitter at Isaac Dover and on Facebook, and keep emailing me your thoughts and suggestions for guests at isaac@politico.com. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever you're listening on, and spread the word. 2018 is the midterms, and we're going to be all about the midterms all the time, and you're not going to want to miss an episode. And now, my conversation with Jordan Klepper. Do you find what we are living through to be funny?
I find it mostly scary if we're talking about the thing that I think we're talking about, he who shall not be named, but
you can name.
Will be named repeatedly over the course of both this podcast and every piece of entertainment that we stumble upon. I do think it's scary, and I sometimes get afraid that I get too complacent in how commonplace it becomes. I find humor in every little thing. I think there's gallows humor in the darkest places. But that doesn't mean I'm excited or I'm just laughing because of the chaos that is happening. I think the humor comes as a release from the things that we're fearing, the places we'll go.
Is it just the president, who I'm guessing you're not a fan of? We're not a Trump voter.
I was not a Trump voter. I mean, the president is the focus of so many things right now. And I think he is one thing that I'm frustrated with, by no means the only thing. I think what probably scares me almost equally as much is how far this guy has gotten. And I think you start to look at in Congress, it's like, what is this next step? Who are the other people who are the Americans that I dreamt of as a young kid? When you're like, you believe in America, you want to protect America. And then you see the complacency of whether it's the McConnells or the Ryans, and you start to see the way in which, like, oh, I could now start to see the way in which America could crumble. That scares me. And it's because there might be a lack of backbone surrounding one guy who could be completely flawed for the position he has.
I mean, you grew up in Michigan. There's Kid Rock was going to run for Senate there, right? He didn't.
He did not. It's not. Yeah. I mean, who knows? It's still on the table. I mean, that Honestly, Kid Rock.
Mr. Richie of Michigan.
Yes. Him. I mean, Marshall Mathers could still run. Who knows? By the way, that was maybe the best press release I've ever read was Kid Rock saying that he's not running. I mean, he was such a great example of like both a hoax that could then become a reality and nobody knew what it was anymore.
Well, and that was part of the issue with it, right? It was that like people were like, I mean, this is obviously a joke, right? And then we're like, well, but that's what we said about Donald Trump at first, mm-hmm. right? And like the number of reporters who either didn't take him seriously as a candidate, didn't go to the first couple of events that he did his kickoff because they're like, come on.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I remember when he won the New Hampshire primary, the BuzzFeed news alert was, this is actually happening, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because it really felt like that. And it's like, no, like he's the 45th president of the United States.
Right.
And so it makes it less absurd that Kid Rock would be a senator or that what one of the things I think is really actually kind of interesting is that you haven't seen so far, at least this year, any real copycats in the Trump mold, right?
I think because it is so difficult when you really break it down. I mean, I think you're right. Like, you don't get to make that joke anymore. I mean, Kid Rock is stealing Donald Trump's material. I think they both wanted to put on a show, and one of them, the show just kept getting extended. But I do think what is different about Donald Trump, I think everybody was waiting. It was like, oh, it's just going to be a real. Can I swear?
Yeah, you can do it. It's a podcast.
Be a shit show. It's going to be a podcast. I can do whatever. All right, I'm taking my jacket off. Maybe even my tie.
It's going to be that kind of afternoon.
I think we will definitely see the ripples of a Donald Trump in so many different ways. But I think he is such a unique form of famous that got him away. He got to get away with so many other things. And I think, like, I was laughing with a friend the other day. We were listening to some old rap song that Trump was rapping. I think it was a Ghostface Killah song. It was a Raekwon song.
Into the classics.
Into the classics. Referencing Trump. And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. 20 years ago, I listened to this song. And Raekwon, the chef from Wu-Tang, is referencing Donald Trump as somebody who's just basically a stand-in for money and success. I'm a high schooler, but that's what I'm equating to Trump. He became a joke, a celebrity apprentice, and all of those things. But for so long, he just was a symbol of success. And we say it jokingly, but truly the American dream for so many people. And so you can throw all the bullshit around him, and he's a showman in these ways. And he's hurt our democracy in a lot of different ways, and I think lowered the bar for what it takes to maybe be a successful candidate. But when you start poking holes in other people, Donald Trump had the one thing that you couldn't deflate, and that was like 25 years of Coca-Cola branding.
Right. I think that's exactly right. I mean, I grew up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and my first memory of Donald Trump is that he was building buildings that were going to block our view.
Yeah.
And I remember my mother talking about it. But you can't – the day before the 2016 election, I had a conversation with an editor in this office, and the editor said to me, okay, so he's going to lose. So we need to do a story like, who's the next Trump? And I was like, no. That's it. Like, there is no one else who can fit into this.
And Yeah. I think our perception of what we're looking for in a candidate is going to change, and the circus around him and the way we cover it, what we want from politics. I think there will be a time where he leaves, I think. I don't know. This year, 3 years, eight, who knows? But the way and what we want from a politician, what we want in the chaos of the cycle, like, you know, we're inside it pretty intently. Yeah. And I'm sure there's parts of us, and we're going to write articles, and as comedians, we're going to talk about like how frustrating and it is to have to be pushed and pulled by this guy's agenda and tweets. But it is a show that we're all addicted to, that like when you get that next boring candidate, like we're going to watch it differently, and we might discard it because of that.
I mean, there. On the other hand, there was a senator who said to me, I think by the next presidential election or 2024, people will want to have like an Eisenhower type candidate. And I was like, I don't really know that that's right. That seems
know.
Like wishful thinking on the part of this senator.
I mean, there are,
who is not as entertaining as Donald Trump.
I think they want a really dry candidate. I think that's what they want, a non-telegenic candidate.
But I wonder, like, within the space of this week, when you think about like this book and these questions of like, oh, is it true? How much of it is novelized? and the White House not having the credibility to say, no, this isn't true and take our word for it. Yeah. Where does that leave you? You are doing a fake news show, like an actual fake news show with the best fake news team on television, right? Before fake news was a term that meant much more.
Yeah, now it means something almost totally different. Or I think in creating and coming from The Daily Show and then also creating this news show, well, we were seeing this landscape where things were getting more and more absurd, where like it was choose your own reality. It was like, oh, I think one, that's the thing that we want to play around with. That's the thing we want to kind of expose as like, oh, we're becoming contortionist with the truth in a way just to make us feel comfortable with the things we want to believe more than ever.
Yeah.
And so there's a challenge. There's always the question of like, can you heighten the thing that already feels so absurd? It's like, I think you can take the logic that got to that absurdity. You take the ways in which you bend, and it's like, and what we do satirically, I get to play it through the eyes of a character as opposed to just shake my fist at the web of lies. I get to be the guy who like gets to make a web of lies and then show you how you get caught in it. So I think that's where we start to have fun in it.
What do you think about that term fake news, though? Does it frighten you that that's now like part of the
conversation? It's great branding. Yeah. I mean, I think what is scary about it is that it's so easy. It rolls off the tongue. That it works.
Yeah.
That it's... I sent out a tweet, and I sent out a lazy tweet today that said fake news. It was lazy. I was making fun of Trevor. The Daily Show put out an ad in the New York Times today. And I think my joke was fake news. It's a lazy joke because it's just the thing that we say now. And I think like I go to Trump rallies.
Like, isn't that a problem to make to me that it's become a joke to say fake news?
Yes.
Like that it just now gets baked into the way that we think about things and makes people not think about actually how dangerous it is like fake news was a thing. It's beyond the Daily Show being there. It was news purposely faked for a political purpose. It's not news that you don't agree with. It's not news that like a mistake was made, which happens. Mm-hmm. And that, right?
Like, oh, I mean, I think it's incredibly dangerous because it's the easy retort. And I guess that I'm saying it as a joke right now of like, oh, I want to discredit this one thing. I'm going to say fake news. And that's lazy, but it's the gut reaction. I go to a Trump rally and people don't like something they want to hear. They say fake news. Right. And it's like, it's you're given a shortcut to delegitimization.
Or ignoring even.
Or ignoring, because you're right. Yeah. Like at one point we can look at, what do you mean when you say fake? That this is propaganda? That somebody's pushing you to believe one other thing? It's like, no, this is just, I don't want to hear this so I can say that. And from on high, I'm being told that that's a legitimate point of view.
Right. To me, it's a very dangerous thing that it goes down. Then, do you ever struggle with the? You have to do your show every night, right?
Mm-hmm. Like that's what the network tells me.
That's in your contract. it's that weird thing of like making a joke of it, but also, accepting it as part of the culture. What
I mean for us, we start with what are the things we care about, what are we passionate about. I think we try to make very clear what our point of view on whatever that story is. I think we can expose those things. It's like Donald Trump, like if he's using fake news to obfuscate the Mueller investigation or he wants you to look over here or over there. It's like, I think for us, we get to embrace that. It's like, that's a tactic. Great. As a comedian, I'm going to use that tactic as like a premise. And so I'm going to use that premise then and explore that in a way that hopefully, oh, we're laughing at the tactic and not becoming complacent with the idea of fake news.
Yeah.
So I don't see danger in that necessarily, but I think we have to stay on it because it is too easy for it to just become common parlance. And then everybody, then what is news?
Take me inside the mind of getting to conspiracy theory and getting to, right? Because you do it deliberately, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You say fake news deliberately, make a joke of it. But like, how do you get there?
How do you believe? I mean, you got to want it first. And you have to have a distrust of the thing that tells you something else or anger towards that thing that tells you something else. And then you got to be bored. I think like the internet is such a great place to like search out that thing that is going to just reaffirm the thing you already believe. And so you go towards it and you go towards that thing that's a great story. We might talk conspiracy theories are fun. Like,
they are.
They're more interesting than real life. They're more complicated than real life. But we talk about JFK. I'll tell you which movie I want to go watch. And it's not, we're just, oh, Lee Harvey Oswald did it. Okay.
No. And there's always, like, in anyone, there's a little pebble of something, right? It's like, look, we landed on the moon, right?
right?
But if you look at it, like, what's the deal with the flag waving?
Oh, God, yeah.
There are explanations for it, but you see where, like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, never have been, but I can see where the I think you're right. Like the entertainment aspect.
It's entertaining.
It right?
Also, like we should be critical thinkers, and I think like there's you should question things. You should be judgmental and not take everything at face value. So I think like a lot of times these conspiracy theorists and perhaps journalists or intellectuals will approach things in a very similar manner. Mm-hmm. Like, well, let me figure it out for myself. Now, where you go from there comes from like what you want to believe and what those facts are.
Do you think you understand the way Alex Jones's mind works better, or Donald Trump's mind works better?
I think I'm learning each day within it all. I think Trump is guided by pretty simple things. I mean, Trump is just worried about himself. He wants to win. I mean, I think winning is such it's very American, but it's very human. Like, I get that at all costs. He will step on anybody, throw anybody else under the bus, but like he needs to always be right and he can never feel wrong is something that I totally empathize with. Like, I look at him and I look at some of those people on that side.
As a human or as a performer?
Both. But as a human, very much like as a human, there's two things that I am desperately scared of. I'm desperately afraid of being called unkind, and I'm desperately afraid of being called not smart. And so I will do whatever I can to hide those things and not have to be called you're being mean or you're dumb. And so I get that. I'm aware of where my inefficiencies are, where I am dumb, where I could be nicer. And I think like I'm able to engage in that conversation. And I understand people like Donald Trump. I understand people who have different points of view. I mean, when I go to rallies and stuff like that and talk to people, like hearing the media, hearing comedians say like, that's a dumb thing to believe. Like, I get it. You don't like that. And that's the worst thing we can say to you.
Right.
So you're going to build and
you
choose.
You get defensive. And
yeah.
Right.
I think it's very human. I get it. I see what's coming. That doesn't make you evil. That makes you human. Like what you do with that. Those are the choices then we.
And
we
so from to. There to when the president says things like 3 million people voted illegally like that. I mean, it seems to go to your point, right?
Yeah.
Like that he's defensive. Like, no, I won the election. Leave me alone.
I'm a winner. What you're trying to do, you're trying to delegitimize me. You're trying to make me look dumb and not as popular. Like, I'm not dumb. I'm not unpopular. I'm popular. Look at this. Like, I get that. He shouldn't do that. He's the president.
But there is a certain element of like, what more do you people want, right? Like, mm-hmm. He built himself into a major real estate figure in New York. And then he built himself into a billionaire, maybe. More money than I have in my bank account, but certainly like many millions of dollars. And then he built himself into an international celebrity. Then he got himself elected president. And like, oh, you do understand how he could say like, what is the issue already? Why can't you just respect me?
Yeah, yeah. Right? He's the most famous person that has ever lived.
Right.
And he wants a little credit for that.
Right. And that line that he had, it was a Time interview like last spring where he said, you know, but I'm president. So like, thanks. I don't remember how he said it, but it was like, so talk to me later or something like that. I don't remember how it goes. But like there's a truth to that.
Oh,
there's,
sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly, like, you know, we can argue legally when he's like, it's my Justice Department. I can do what I want. Right. Like, yeah, there's a legal discussion. But like, I totally get where he's coming from. It's like, are you kidding me? Do you know what I've done with my life? I'm in charge of the free world, right? I've gotten
45
here.
45 people have been elected. Not even elected. 45 people have been president.
Yes. Right? Cut me some slack. Let me do my thing.
Right.
He's just been in such a bubble for so long as a guy who has been so successful
yeah.
and has been, it started out farther along than everybody else,
right.
That has allowed it, like that criticism, something he hasn't had to engage with.
Right. Is it a good moment for comedy or is it a bad moment for comedy? Like the conventional wisdom is like, oh, well, I mean, come on, Donald Trump's the president, right? But there are so many shows on. I just saw today that Letterman's show is debuting on Netflix now. He left and he's come back and he's got Barack Obama as the first guest, right? And it just like there's so much to make fun of all the time.
It's a tough question. It is both for comedy. I think it's an important time for comedy. I'll give you that. I think the idea I get all the time that Trump, oh, it's great. Oh, it must be so easy. It's all these things. Like, It's yes and no. He controls the whole conversation. At The Daily Show, we felt this, especially when Trump was elected and now with the opposition. We want to cover other things. We want to focus on other things, go more in depth on things that people are not talking about. But you can't, there's no credibility to be had to have a conversation about what's happening right now if you don't touch base with what everyone is talking about. And so everybody's focused on the big guy who walked into the living room and started screaming at everybody. So we have to comment on the fact that there's a guy screaming in the living room. And so I think there is something there's something cathartic about it. We're all having this experience. And I think as a comedian, we'd say like, you have to connect with the audience. What are we all living through right now? And like it or not, it's Donald Trump. So there is that connection. And I think that helps with writing comedy because we're all starting from that similar place. But we're all looking at that as comedians. And I think that's what's really frustrating. It's like, it's hard to find that nuance. It's hard to continue to go after this. It'd be nice to be able to choose what you cover as opposed to what you cover and choosing you again.
I mean, I remember watching The Daily Show and other comedy shows, that, like the late night shows, when Obama was president, when Bush was president, thinking after a day of doing this is my job. Like this is, it was like a purge, right? Like, oh, get it all out of my system so I can start fresh the next day. But that's not, now you go, it's like every show is just firing hard at the president, right? Like, and that's all about the president and all about what's going on, right?
I mean, that's where I think what we try to do with our show, like, I get that. And that's what The Daily Show does and does so well. I got to create a show after Donald Trump was president. I wanted to talk about the news. I love the news. It's what I'm living. I want to comment on that. But for me, the fun way to do that, instead of just being mad every day, is to play with it. And so I think character-based satire, I can show it. I can be more show than tell. I can play with the wildness of it. If he says he needs a button, I can explore what that means. If he's obfuscating the truth with like creating fake villains, I can create real villains and get kidnapped on television. It's like I can use those constraints to like play, because I think you're right. Because I get tired of just yelling at Donald Trump and look how dumb he is. And so for us, we're like, let's try to find some fun in the new and like let's show it. Let's show these tactics. Because we're going to be talking about them anyway.
Right.
But let's not be mad about it. Let's expose it by playing with it.
I should say you actually did get kidnapped on television as part of the show, right?
Yes. So. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
It wasn't just a figure of speech.
It was a comedic kidnapping. Yes.
But I mean, every day is like life is a parody. That's what it is. So how do you parody, right?
I mean, I think you do that. You find like what are the tactics and what are the ways in which they're finding the crazy, and then use that in the premise and shake it up and multiply it by 10. And so, I mean, again, like to talk about the getting kidnapped, like they're creating straw men, and we were ending a break where we kept seeing this, and we're seeing let's not talk about Mueller. Let's talk about the deep state. Let's talk about what's happening in the FBI. Let's create all these other things. It's frustrating. And we're ending a show where we are these characters who believe these things. And so let's have me come out and my character have literally hired somebody who is going to kidnap me, who I'm going to blame on the deep state and George Soros and Lena Dunham and have him put it over my head. Like, it's like, so let's use that. We're not quite at the point where people are creating fake kidnappings. I mean, probably by March, but right. if we can get 2 months ahead.
It's only the beginning of January.
I know, right? So we're 2 months ahead.
What is the process for getting into the character every night? Like, do you have to do anything to like get method it out?
It's love.
Because it's not you, right?
It's not
like,
me.
It's really very much not you.
It's my point of view. I mean, it's.
And I feel like, you know, I know you're probably tired of the Colbert comparisons, but like, I feel like your character is more distant from who you are than even Colbert was from who his character was.
I think so. Like, I'm not a one to one. I know Colbert was like one to one with O'Reilly or somewhat, or Stone Phillips in that world too. I think like I'm using the energy in the world of like an Alex Jones. I'm in the body of a Tucker Carlson, or maybe even worse, a Jesse Waters. Jeez, I can't believe I'm even saying it. But but I think like the right and the fringe all kind of are starting to meld, and so I'm borrowing from those things. But in getting into character, we're writing in that point of view, and we're all living in that character's point of view through the day, and then we have that script finished and we're walking out. I mean, it's basically an energy thing. You fill yourself up with like the cockiness of that. And
but how do you do that? Is it like listening to a song? Like you just blast Alex Jones?
Honestly, for me, what I do, it is a crazy day that I'm literally running up until that show goes on. I walk on out. I get the audience gives me that energy, and I try to connect with the audience as me to show the audience that I think I'm a fairly nice guy. Because I think it's also audiences are getting more and more earnest than they were before.
Yeah.
And so jokes where you're pretending to take side of Donald Trump are not the easiest sell. So there's a bit of me connecting with them so they get where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And then LCD sound systems, us versus them, comes on. That's my get onto stage song.
And that's it. You're a conspiracy
us, them,
man.
I get in and I'm energetic and it's like, it's me or them. Let's go.
I mean, I wonder also, you talk about the audiences. It feels like if you're a Donald Trump supporter, you're not going to see your show. You're probably not tuning into your show. I feel like that's true of most late night shows by and large at this point, right? But do you worry about contributing to the division that's going on in the country? Or like, it feels to me, I remember years ago, I think when Conan O'Brien still had the late night show at NBC, he started a joke about Michael Jackson. He just said the word Michael Jackson. And the audience started laughing and he said, that's all I have to do now. That's it. But like, we're almost at that point with Donald Trump for a lot of the late night shows. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of people find catharsis in this weird time. And so they turn to late night shows. They turn to shows that are talking about this. And that is a cathartic moment. We're all in this together. Can you believe this is happening? Like, I don't think we want to be pigeonholed into preaching to that choir. Yeah. But I also like know that we are frustrated in one very similar direction. And so I feel like we try to stay honest and we try to stay open and making fun of the things that don't have to be partisan based. They're a lot of times aimed at good old DT.
Yep.
But we have to keep asking ourselves that question of like, what do we really think on this? So we don't get caught up in just playing to that. But I feel the moment shifting to that. And that's you feel the pull, like in saying that the earnest audiences, like people want something different than they wanted 3 years ago.
And
they're
arguably
scared.
Like where if you look at the approval ratings for Trump, it's, you know, if 65% of your audience of the country is disapproving of him, then that's more than just like an even division. Right. And so that's better for your ratings. Right.
You know, one thing I'll take it. This is so anecdotal. So call it fake news, if you will. But I have talked to some family members who are on the Trump side of things who watch the show and have made some interesting comments because you're posed with that question. What do people on the other side think about this and this character? And a lot of times people aren't watching. I don't quite always buy that like those watch it just totally don't get what the joke is. But she was a smart conservative, voted for Trump, enjoyed the show. And in what she found funny about it was like she finds Trump funny too, thinks he's crazy, voted for him, thinks he should be in there, thinks Hillary Clinton is as bad can be, but found something in our show because we weren't just mad at it, because we were highlighting what was foppish and the follies of Donald Trump, that she actually found that to be Trump humor that aligned with what she found funny about him.
And it's part of the mistake, it seems like, that Hillary Clinton made in the campaign was that there was a slice of Trump voters who were like, I know what you're saying about him. I know, like, you say he's sexist or racist. Like, I see what it is, and I'm okay with that because I have so many other issues with you, Hillary, and also with my life and my wages, and like, and that's fine. I want him to be this guy to change things up.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. There's some of America who sees him as a golden god, and he's perfect, and will bend over backwards to create that narrative. But I think you're right. I think there is a bunch of people who are like, yeah, we know. We don't care. We're worried
or
about
even like we're good with that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, like oh, he's a flawed human being. Okay,
right.
What else do you have for me? Nah, I'm good. I'm gonna focus on my one issue that I care about.
Yeah,
make an abortion. Make it this one job that I want to get. Like, cool. We can make fun of him. Yeah, I think that's crazy too. But I'm gonna buy the hat and I'm gonna fight for that one thing.
Has anybody taken your show seriously? I remember when Colbert first came on that there were a bunch of people who were like, I can't believe Comedy Central has given a platform to this crazy conservative. Do you get like, who is this conspiracy monster?
Twitter. I will get pinged on Twitter with people who think that all the time as well. Yeah. It's like, look at this guy just giving voice to Donald Trump for that. Not a lot. I don't think that is a giant narrative that's happening out there. But you will always get people who read the headlines, not the article.
So let's talk just a little bit about Alex Jones. Do you still listen to him a lot?
I do. I try to check in with him. Breitbart, kind of what some of the narrative of the day is.
Do you have like you have to kind of refresh that well constantly?
We do. I think like we're trying not to. I mean, first of all, he creates so much content. He's on for like 4 hours every day, radio and InfoWars. So it's almost like just fully streaming.
Amazing production.
It really. It's honestly, I am floored by the content that the guy can create, and he's an amazing performer. He is engaging as you can be. So I'm checking in and out. Like I think mostly to get point of view. I mean, it's a mix. There isn't like on this fringe, this alt-right fringe, there isn't one clear ideology, you know? And so I think like we're trying to navigate where things seem to be heading. And we don't have to go one-to-one with what he's talking about day in and day out. But I will say like, What's his take on this? This Bannon thing breaks. What does him? What does Jones and Roger Stone have to say about this? We see where Breitbart's going quiet. We'll check in on Daily Caller. Just try to get where the narrative and the arrow's pointing. And then from there, we start to build our narrative on.
Right. So if you look forward to like now, as we go into this next year, are we going further down the conspiracy hole, you think? Like in the, I mean, again, that would be better for your ratings, I guess, but taking you into the, like, put yourself in the mindset of the people who do this. Like, is that what the future is?
Yes. Or? Yes. I mean, I think we're getting more and more desperate. I think you see, I think Mueller's going to ratchet up. And so I think we're going to have to find more things to pay attention to. Hillary, she ain't going away. I mean, even right now, I think it was yesterday, Jones started talking about Bannon being a deep state operative. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, already, like, I mean, that's seamless.
I mean,
seamless,
it's one of the amazing things to me about all this, and when you see throughout, is the sort of cult of personality around Trump, that then it was like Bannon, oh, everybody loved Bannon. And then as soon as there was a division, like, nobody thought for a second, go with Bannon. Mm-hmm. It was all with Trump, whether it's people running for office or the Mercer family or Alex Jones. It was just Bannon is totally thrown off because it's just the connection is to Trump.
It's to power. It's like, I feel like.
You think it's to power?
I think it's to power. I mean, I think Trump is the engaging guy, but I think you had this package of Trump and Bannon, and you had power, and you had, I shouldn't even say ideology, but you had like the extreme. The power and the extremism, we want them both. They split. Yeah, well, this guy, he's pushing the nationalism. He's like, this guy is the guy who's going to be around in 3 months. We have to go with the game. I mean, the ideology is winning. And so it's like, who's going to win? Yeah. The disheveled guy who's like, maybe he's going to, what, he's going to run for president? Is that the rumor that I heard? That guy doesn't have the polish or the charm of Donald Trump.
I mean, we had a story that as everything broke down, that like this group that he was trying to start doesn't even have a bank account, like, to take in donations. So like that Donald Trump will have the ability to raise money, and there will be a bank account for the money to go into.
He'll be around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody still wants to pick the winner. And so I think that's why, yeah, it's Trump for a while.
Man, it's such uplifting thoughts from a comedian.
Yeah. And jokes and I'll leave the dick jokes to our president.
All right. Jordan Klepper, thanks for taking the time. Well, there's some food for thought ahead of Trump's fake news awards. Thanks to Zach Stanton for producing and making this sound great, as always. Remember again to follow me on Twitter, at Isaac Dover. Guys, you got to help me get to 50,000 followers. And on Facebook, like me there. Email me your thoughts at isaac@politico.com. Lots more coming up, so make sure you subscribe. And catch you next time on Off Message.